Longhorn Nation. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Texas is the kicker. The kicker comes through.
We're back.
Welcome back, Longhorn fans, to the Fire Tom Herman podcast, your overreactionary Texas Longhorns football fan podcast. I am Josh, back for another season with my co-host Noah, and it is finally game week. University of Texas plays the University of Texas at El Paso this Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central Time on the Longhorn Network, or if you're one of the 25% of the stadium that will be showing up in attendance, you can catch that at DKR. So we're just going to close our eyes really, really tight. We're going to pretend for this episode that coronavirus and COVID-19 and this entire global pandemic isn't actually happening. And we're just going to talk about what we're looking forward to this season, pretending that the season won't get played without some drastic interruptions because of that pandemic. So you think we can do that?
Well, we did it once before, and the very next day they announced the cancellation of a bunch of different conferences and stuff whenever we recorded a preview way back when over the summer.
But, yeah, I think we can do that, and hopefully we'll have a better outcome this time. And like you said, maybe we'll make it through the entire season.
Seeing as we are both millennials, I think we can safely say that one of our talents is being able to just, like, compress our problems and just stuff them down deep inside and pretend they're not happening, even if it's bothering us massively internally.
What problems?
Exactly. All right, so let's start off. Let's just dive right in with expectations for the season. Obviously, 2019 came in with a ton of hype, went out terribly, or at least came out terribly in the middle of the season, sort of picked it back up towards the end. But what do you think it actually is going to take in 2020 for this year to be considered a success for Texas?
Well, I'm at the point as a Texas Longhorns fan where I'm done with the excuses. I'm done with lowering my expectations. So for me, a successful 2020 is a conference championship. Just making the championship game, from where I'm sitting right now, here, previewing the season, before everything has happened, right, maybe this will change. But from my perspective right now, making the championship game, or barely missing the game, isn't going to be enough. You know, it's year four. Tom Herman has had his time. He's got his guys, both in terms of players and staff. He had his big mulligan this offseason. So at this point, he's cashing his chips, and he's putting them all in now. So for me, it's conference championship, and it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and I think that's fair, especially when you look at what has come over some of the other contenders. Oklahoma State came into the year looking like they were going to be really good. Obviously, still have that possibility, but they've got their offensive line issues with guys opting out and transferring out of the program. They've had their own circus off the field with Mike Gundy doing things that only Mike Gundy can and only ways that Mike Gundy could possibly pull off. And then you've got Oklahoma has half of their running back room either transferred out or opting out of the season. Got some of their defense opting out of the season. So it feels like there's really no better time than now. It was already sort of the expectation coming into the year that Herman's team needed to step up and needed to be a complete team this season to be successful and to win that Big 12 title. And now it feels like with those changes to those teams, it feels like there's absolutely no excuse. You have to go for it. We've been blessed with very few guys opting out. Just Daniel Young and a couple guys on defense, but not starters. No starters have opted out. So that's a big deal. I think that's a lot of the reason why the expectations should be even higher than they already should have been coming into the year.
For me, part of it is also there's nowhere in this program that you can look at and point to and not have Herman be accountable for it at this point. Like the quarterback room, let's start there. You've got your senior starter in Sam. If he goes down, you've got Casey Thompson, who's now in his third year in the program. He should be able to step in and run Herman's system. So across the team, you've got your seasoned veterans like Sam or Cosme or Caden Stearns or BJ Foster or Joseph Bosai. These guys are not upperclassmen that have had their time to play and improve. It's not like it's their first year starting as juniors and seniors. No, they've had time. So they've had a lot of run, some of them even since their freshman years. And so we've seen their growing pains. Look at the corners, for example. They were really young last year, but now theoretically they should have some seasoning and be ready to perform at a high level. Even the offensive line, where it's hard to find immediate impact guys, has had time to develop under Herman now. So to me, there's just no reason that it shouldn't happen this year for Herman. You've got the right mix of talent and skill, experience, and even young studs like Bijan that can be spark plugs and provide energy and depth.
Yeah. I think the only sort of, well, I guess we can sort of get into it. We have it sort of charted out here on our episode plan here. But I guess the next thing is going to be just who's going to break out. You talked about a lot of these guys being in the program for a while. We've developed a lot of these guys. Who are the guys that haven't seen a whole lot of action or who have been a lot more promise than actual production to this point that you're looking forward to seeing this year that you think are going to have a big impact on how this team plays?
I think it all starts with the skill position guys. Not even so much the outside receivers, but the inside receivers and the running backs. I'm looking for those five or so guys. So you got Jake Smith, Jordan Whittington, Keonta Ingram, Rashawn Johnson, and Bijan Robinson to all together kind of elevate the production and consistency of those spots. So it's a little bit weird to talk about a guy like Keonta Ingram as a potential breakout player, but he's always been hampered by injuries, which isn't necessarily his fault. But now that we have some solid depth behind him, I'm hoping that we can see him be consistent all throughout the season rather than being so up and down. I think Jake Smith is another guy who really flashed last year. Especially on like just a per snap basis, it was absurd for a freshman. But yeah, I'd love for him to really have a huge role, even if he's not as big as Devin Duvernay was, who was just so consistent. You know, I'd love to see him blow up. And then Jordan Whittington is just so talented. I think any sort of discussion about breakout players needs to include him after not being able to play last year with an injury.
Yeah, and I think on defense, probably the first guy that I want to see break out this year is DeMarvion Overshown. He's been a guy. Had a ton of promise and just really hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities to make an impact on the game because that secondary room has been so star power heavy that there was just a lot of a big log jam. So now he's gotten moved to that weak side linebacker role. Going to give him an opportunity to patrol the middle of the field, be involved closer to the line of scrimmage. It's an area where a lot of NFL scouts have said he has a lot of potential to play on Sundays in that role. And given that the linebacking room is by far, I think, our weakest room, being able to see him break out there would be huge. I'd also love to see Kenyatta Watson or Chris Adimora really come in big. I think Adimora is spending a lot of time at nickel, so he should get plenty of play there, and that'll be a big role for him to fill, especially once we get into the Big 12 schedule. So I think those are the guys really to keep an eye on. And I mean, I don't think you can really call it, he's not going to be a breakout guy for Texas fans, but maybe on the national scene after that big, bowl game performance against Utah, everyone's going to want to watch Joseph Osai just absolutely live in opposing backfields this fall, playing from the jack position, getting to blitz the quarterback a lot more.
I'd agree. Osai's not really a breakout player. But I don't think you can have any sort of discussion about Texas and our bright spots next year without mentioning him. So I do think that he deserves a quick shout out.
And then on the opposite side of the coin, there are some holes on this team. I know you got done talking about how there's really no excuses for Herman. We have every area of the team is sort of his to own. But every team has some level of flaw. What are the flaws that worry you the most about this Texas team right now?
You already hit the big one for me, and it's the linebacking group. With Chris Ash's new system, we'll probably see more two true linebacker sets. So you'll have Juwan Mitchell and DeMarvion Overshown there. And I think it's interesting because both of those guys have shown flashes before. It's probably the most athletic duo that we've had since Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson were playing together. And they really were able to work well together. So Mitchell and Overshown last year, obviously Overshown, I think, is the one that everybody knows. He's a super athlete. But Juwan Mitchell had some plays last year where he was going sideline to sideline. He was jumping over linemen. And so they both showed that ability, which has kind of been lacking for us at times in recent years, which is to actually have athleticism in those spots, to get from one sideline to the other, to cover the entire field. But it's just a matter of can they actually do it? Because I think that Overshown especially has shown the ability to see plays and to get there, but then not quite be able to finish them. So for me, it's all about how quickly can they learn a new system, how well can they play together, and then how well will they actually be able to finish plays whenever they see it within that new system. So Overshown, you know, I think there's also some health concerns, and then Mitchell is just, the guy's kind of just a total wild card, if we're being honest. High hopes, but, you know, who really knows what we can see out of him this year.
Honestly, I think the biggest thing for Juwan Mitchell is just keeping him involved enough. I mean, he's gone through multiple times since he's gotten to Austin where it's looked like he's had a foot out the door, getting ready to hop in the transfer portal, and then that gets pulled back. Had that a few times this offseason, got pulled back. Going into the bowl game, had that issue. So hopefully we can get settled in. Hopefully the events of this offseason has sort of helped bring this team together, and that'll sort of help focus everyone up. I think the other holes that I'm a little worried about is going to be the depth at the offensive line position. Obviously, we know Cosme's good. We know Kerstetter's good. We know Junior Ongalau is good. That's the left side of your line. We're good there. Right side of line, we got Denzel Okafor at right guard, Christian Jones at right tackle. We've seen Okafor play tackle. Wasn't a great time. Maybe in playing inside will work out better for him. Christian Jones is going to be new. Hopefully he's going to be in a Sam Cosme situation, play one year at right tackle, switch over to left tackle next year and just be absolutely dominant. But beyond that, there are a lot of questions about who the next man up would be. Isaiah Hookfin had a lot of really good reviews through the offseason. He's doubtful to play against UTEP, so hopefully that's not a lingering health issue that keeps him from being available for a significant number of games. You've got Tyler Johnson, a redshirt freshman, as the backup to Christian Jones. And then on the left side, behind Cosme, Andre Carrick is listed as the backup left tackle, I imagine, in the event that something happened to Cosme, God forbid, Christian Jones probably slides over to take over left tackle. But you've got I feel like a solid group for that first line, but Herman's always talked about wanting 6, 7, 8 guys that you can play the line, that core group of five and a few guys that can rotate in. I think there's a lot of questions about who those guys are who will be available to rotate in, given that it's unlikely that entire unit will be perfectly healthy all year.
And the good news is that Kerstetter does buy you a lot of, you know, he buys you a lot of slack in terms of depth because he can play anywhere on the line at an adequate level. But of course, I feel like it's like that monkey paw curls because then you have to have a backup center. And I'm not sure that we have that. So yeah, you might end up with somebody having to plug in elsewhere just because you can't move Kerstetter, even though you could if you could find an adequate backup. So I definitely agree. Offensive line should be the big worry for offense. And it'll kind of be, I say this half jokingly, but it'll be interesting to see if all this strength on the left side of the line and question marks on the right side kind of forces Herman out of his QB power right.
Right.
And all the clutch situations. Maybe got to get to the second page of the playbook there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what tendencies Mike Yurcich ends up forcing onto Herman. So hopefully he's willing to work around that a little bit more, and we won't necessarily have that issue bothering us the entire year. So let's get into the schedule discussion. Obviously, we're going to have previews to sort of talk at length about each of these teams when their game week comes up. So we're not going to spend a ton of time discussing each one. But we'll just sort of hammer through it real quick, kind of our quick thoughts off the hip, what we expect out of these games, and then we'll keep on moving. So obviously, first up, got UTEP this Saturday. I think this is one of those games, good tune-up game. It's been quite a while since we had consecutive years with having a big tune-up game. We had Louisiana Tech last year. Louisiana Tech actually ended up being a pretty good team, so our dominance of them in the season opener became a lot more impressive as the season wore on. That's not going to happen with UTEP. UTEP might be the worst team in the FBS, even if all 130 teams played this year. So I think this weekend is going to be just a blowout win And anything less than that immediately should be putting up red flags for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree with pretty much all that.
And then from there, we got a little two-week break before starting the Big 12 calendar. Make sure that our protocol that we go through before and after these games is working out. Nobody gets the Rona from playing the people from El Paso there. But we open the Big 12 calendar September 26th in Lubbock at Texas Tech. Big thing I'll be looking for there is I think this will be the first time since he got to Lubbock. This is his third year now playing for the Red Raiders. We have not seen Alan Bowman at quarterback. It has always been one of the Texas Tech backups. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like for us playing against their actual starter.
And weird things can happen in Lubbock. I feel like we've had pretty good success there recently, but it's those I feel like are also always heart attack games where you feel good about it, but it's going to be a little bit weird getting there. So I definitely could see a repeat, something similar happening with Bowman.
Absolutely, and that's definitely one of those games to have circled as sort of a, if there's a spot to have a letdown, is that first game against Texas Tech. Is that going to be one of those areas that could be a problem? After that, week later, we come back home to face TCU. Got Gary Patterson. They are in some dire straits with their quarterback situation. I think as of right now, due to injuries, opt-outs, and everything else, they are currently looking at starting a walk-on as their starting quarterback. So that's a big problem. Then with the coronavirus stuff, TCU, for their opening game, was going to play SMU this weekend. That is now canceled because so many players for TCU are in quarantine, either for testing positive for the virus or because of contact tracing. So TCU is going to remain a question mark all the way into the actual conference schedule. So who the fuck knows what is going to happen there. But I guarantee if they are starting that walk-on and if he plays like shit in their first game, he will throw for 300 yards on us.
Yeah, you know what? I want to say positive things about TCU. I just can't get them out of my mouth because I feel like that always blows up in my face. But yes, we should blow out TCU this year. Who was the guy? I can't remember the quarterback's name in 2018 that played for TCU. Sean Robinson, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he played pretty poorly against us, and a lot of that was our defense playing really well. So maybe we end up in a similar situation like that. I would be perfectly happy with that. But yeah, anyways, I don't want to say too much about TCU. We should win the game.
Then after that, we got the big one. Every year, Red River Shootout. October 10th, no state fair surrounding it, but we are still playing at the Cotton Bowl, at least for now. I guess Jerry Jones hasn't opened the wallet quite far enough to get us into AT&T Stadium. Which, thank God for that. I don't care if it's a pandemic. Don't mess with perfection. So, playing OU, as usual, in the Cotton Bowl. That's going to be the big one. Got to see what Spencer Rattler actually looks like, fully in control of the offense. But as long as Lincoln Riley is in Norman, got to figure their quarterback's going to be productive.
Yeah, the offense is going to be elite. I think earlier you were talking about their running back situation, but I fully expect them to have a great running offense because that's what Lincoln Riley does. You know, as much as we talk about the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, he is a run first guy. And that always then opens up the rest of the offense. So I fully expect them to be able to put up yards, put up points. So it's a matter of slowing them down and putting up some of our own, and we should be able to do it. You know, we got all the weapons.
Yeah. Ordinarily I'd say this is one of those situations where you hope that the stage is just too big for a redshirt freshman like Spencer Rattler playing in his first Red River Shootout. But with the stadium possibly only 25% full, if that much, that atmosphere is just not going to be the same. So I think this is really going to come down to purely full-on just execution. You're not going to have that same level of emotional swing that you would when it's a full packed house at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, and funny enough, this would have been a perfect time to have Todd Orlando because he just feasts on first-year starting quarterbacks. So the entire time that we had Orlando, I was really looking forward to that first Orlando-Rattler matchup. But, you know, RIP, Todd.
Then we got another two-week break Get through the first three games, get a little break, then three more games. Opening up October 24th at home again against Baylor. Should be an interesting team to watch. Obviously lost their head coach, whose name is completely going blank
Matt
in my
Rhule.
Head. Matt Rhule, to the Carolina Panthers. But they got Dave Aranda, the former defensive coordinator at LSU. He is now the head coach. They still have Charlie Brewer as their quarterback. So you got to think they're going to be productive as long as they can keep his brain from turning into gelatin in four games.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Baylor's also, you know, I talked about our kind of coming of age, a lot of our guys getting older. Matt Rhule did set them up with a lot of talent, a lot of athleticism. So it'll be interesting to see how Aranda can kind of transition that head coaching role, but he's definitely got some pieces to work with, including Brewer, like you said.
Then after that, we have a very spooky road trip on Halloween night, going up to Stillwater. On one hand, I was happy to get rid of this game from being the Black Friday game that we were going to play to close the season. And instead, we just changed it out for Halloween, which, again, this is another one where maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Halloween in Stillwater probably would have been an extremely scary game if we knew that the stadium was going to be full. But with it at most being a partial full stadium, it'll be interesting to see how that atmosphere sort of works and against what was expected to be one of the best teams in the league coming into the season.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I mean Boone Pickens, it's gonna be weird. I don't know about you, but me, whenever I think about like really weird places to play for Texas in conference, to me the ones that stand out are always Lubbock, Stillwater, and
Ames.
Manhattan. Oh, really? Ames. See, I'm not even scared of Iowa State. So for me, it's Manhattan, not Ames. But yeah, I don't
know. Maybe they're all just kind of spooky in their own way.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe whenever you like go 500 over the course of 5 years, every away game seems a little spooky. But yeah, no, I absolutely could expect some weirdness, and I think that is definitely one of the games that everybody should be watching for an upset watch, you know, assuming that we're the favorites going into it.
Yeah, and I mean, Oklahoma State will be good on offense. Again, with Gundy, they always have a good offense, but you got Spencer Sanders back, Tylan Wallace returned, Chuba Hubbard is back. So, yeah, it's all about that offensive line and what that defense is capable of. After that, we sort of close out this sort of three-game pack. Coming back home, taking the country roads against West Virginia. And I think it'll just be nice. I don't expect them to be much of a threat. They're going to be starting possibly a new quarterback because their quarterback last year, Austin Kendall, was so bad that he might not even be the starter for West Virginia this year. So I think this is an opportunity to try and just sort of beat the brakes off them as a sort of a cathartic reminder of what they did to us in 2018.
I'm still a big Neil Brown believer, so you know I'm expecting them to put up some kind of fight. I still got both of the Stills Bros, I believe, coming back. So I still agree that we should just roll them over, but that's another one that just personally I am a little bit more cautious than I think a lot of people are about West Virginia.
As far as cautious, I guess this is going to be the one that I'm going to have circled as the number one opportunity for a letdown game, and it's gonna hurt if it happens. Going back to up to Lawrence on November 21st at Kansas, obviously close call last year, got bailed out by Cameron Dicker. We always seem to come out flat in the state of Kansas. Doesn't matter if it's Manhattan or Lawrence. I mean, hell, even Vince Young had to do some late game heroics to pull out a win in our national championship year. So, given that Les Miles will do everything in his power to do some riverboat gambling bullshit to us, at Kansas, really should be an easy game, and I just feel absolutely certain that it will not, under any circumstance, be an easy game like it should be.
Yeah, and I mean, this is definitely both of us flipping from the prior week, because I feel pretty good about Kansas. You know, they don't really have a whole lot that scares me. Less Les Miles. I don't know. Maybe he'll just eat all the grass and there'll be no field and we end up rock, paper, scissors-ing it. But yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. I'm expecting a big win. Hopefully, it is also coming off a bye week, so that'll be interesting to watch us kind of regrouping there.
And then we follow it up. Black Friday, we are playing. I think they did just announce like a week or two ago that this had gotten moved from Saturday to Friday after Thanksgiving. But back home against Iowa State for Senior Day. Last time we played Iowa State on Senior Day, it went pretty well. Was hyped up to be this huge matchup. It was going to be a big... it was the biggest game that's ever been on the Longhorn Network. Two ranked teams. And we came out and absolutely dominated Brock Purdy. Purdy is probably behind Sam Ehlinger as the best returning starter in the league this year. I would say that this will be a competitive game, will be a very hyped game, especially without a ton of other teams playing at that point. So I would say Iowa State, that one should be a fun one. Hopefully another one that we can control and dominate on Senior Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I was there at that game in 2018, and it was just an awesome environment to be in. It was the start of the whole Don't Stop Believing, spontaneous lights in the crowd thing. That was such a cool game to be at. Would love to have something similar, minus all the things that were really cool about the stadium, because nobody will actually, or at least I won't actually be there in person. So yeah, hopefully we can. This is, again, ninth game on the schedule. We're coming down the home stretch. And then all that's left is Kansas State, so hopefully that Iowa State might be kind of the last hurdle to the season that we're hoping for.
Yep, this, like you said, we close out this sort of Midwest pack here with the game against Kansas State in Manhattan. So going back, we got the monkey off our back in 2018 of not having won in Manhattan for something like 14 years or whatever, 14 or 16 or however long it had been. So now we're going back. Obviously, we saw last year Chris Klieman's staff managed to pull off an upset against Oklahoma in Manhattan. Hopefully, we don't fall victim to that, but that's another one. Trap game, last game of the year. Especially if we're looking ahead, if we are in a position to be looking at a Big 12 title like we hope to be, that's one that you're going to have circled as a, hey, don't fuck this up sort of game.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me, is hopefully that game doesn't matter beyond just don't mess this up. You know, if things are going like we're hoping they will, then we come into that as heavy favorites, and it's just a matter of, hey, focus up. We got a championship game that we need to lock in. We got playoffs that we need to put up points in order to, you know, maybe sneak into there. So, yeah, that's pretty much it, I think.
All right, so now that we've gone through this whole thing, we can go through record predictions. And we're not going to talk about bowl games. We're not going to talk about playoffs, if that's on your mind as a possibility. We're not even going to talk about really anything beyond just the regular season. Just regular season, what do you think is your expectation? You said that Big 12 title is the measure of success. What do you think actually comes out of this season? 10 games.
Well, Josh, I have written down on this document that we're looking at, 7-3, all dreams are dead. Because I can't get over this nagging feeling that everything is just going to go terribly wrong this year. But I'm going to change my prediction live. You know, I'm drinking a little bit of my own Kool-Aid from earlier in the show. I'm talking about all the talent and the experience that we now have. So I'll go 9-1 Big 12 berth.
9-12.
I've been swinging between 9-1. The two. You know, even within the 30 minutes of this episode, I've swung from 7-3 to 9-1, but I'm going to go ahead and lock it in. Final answer, 9-1 title game.
All right, with that, I got to ask, where's the one loss? Show me a loss on this schedule.
West Virginia. I was talking about how I'm a little bit scared of Neil Brown. You know, we're coming off a streak of OU, Baylor, Oklahoma, week before the bye. You know, you're starting to feel pretty good about yourself. You're 6-0. There's only like 13 teams in the entire country that haven't lost more than half their games because most people have canceled their season. So you're in the playoff talk, and yeah, and then Neil Brown comes into town.
Buying that Neil Brown stock. All right. Well, I'm going, I mean, before the show, before we started recording, I was the more optimistic one. Now I'm the less optimistic one. But I'm going to stick with what I wrote down on our planning document here. I'm saying 8-2 with the Big 12 title game berth. I think one of those losses comes from the three teams that I think are the most understandable to lose to. That's going to be your Red River Shootout with Oklahoma. It's going to be Oklahoma State on Halloween in Stillwater. And that's going to be Iowa State returning Brock Purdy, the second best quarterback in the league. I think that's where one of those losses. I think you go 2-1 in those games, and then you have to have the one letdown game that seemingly comes out of nowhere, whether that's at Texas Tech, whether that's at Kansas, whether that's at K-State. One of those three where you're supposed to win. We're still going to go 2-1 there, but I think that's where your letdown comes in, and I think that's just what Tom Herman's teams are always going to have, is one of those games. And at least from what we've seen, you can work with that. You can still win Big 12 titles with a single loss, as we saw from Oklahoma again last year with that loss to Kansas State. You can make the playoffs with that one loss, as we saw with Oklahoma last year with Kansas State. So that can be worked with moving forward. But I think that's where that comes in. 8-2, that's my final answer. Again, I am agreeing, Big 12 title game berth. I don't know who we're going to play exactly yet. You have to assume Oklahoma until they prove otherwise. But beyond that, I'm not going to make a call on whether or not we win the title. But if our measure of success is that we need to win a title for 2020 to be a success, that's what needs to happen then.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that 8-2 is probably our most likely outcome. But, you know, predictions are all about not what you think is most likely. It's what you think will happen. So I'd say 8-2, and then like plus or minus one is kind of our range for the season if we're being realistic about it. So it's just a matter of whether Tom Herman can really bring this team together. You know, is he going to elevate their level of play like we saw in 2018? If that's the case, we're probably looking at 9-1. Or is he going to, for lack of a better word, kind of choke like he did last year and show an ability to adapt to the way the roster develops? And in that case, it could be 7-3. So I think that any prediction that kind of has us between 1-3 losses is pretty reasonable for this season. Plus, absolutely, there's just so many question marks, right? Like, beyond the pandemic, like, you know, you have two new coordinators, you have all these guys coming back that you're hoping will perform, but you don't necessarily have that sure expectation. So there's a lot of variance, I think, for how the year could go.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the thing. Unfortunately, if things go super sideways, where ordinarily you'd say, hey, Tom Herman, you're done, you're not going to get it done at Texas, obviously, that big asterisk comes in, because it's just going to be such a weird year. You've got, you lose that sort of home field advantage with the crowd. The schedule is all wonky. You lose that opportunity to show out in Baton Rouge that we would have had. So for better or worse, I think there's going to be an asterisk on this season. It just, I think in the end, it's going to be one of those things where you have to watch how the team develops through the year. Because as you become more accustomed to the protocol, the way they are this year, you start to expect things to normalize, at least on the field a little bit. How we come out against UTEP, I think, will show a lot. I think it's fair to expect complete and utter domination. Based on what I watched against Stephen F. Austin this past weekend, I think it's fair to expect complete domination. Strong showing from the defense. If Chris Ash is going to be the guy that's going to get us there this year, I don't think it's unfair to expect that a shutout be the standard against UTEP, because that UTEP team scored two offensive touchdowns against a 3-9 FCS team last year. So to score the same number of offensive touchdowns as the team you beat, and them being low-level FCS, not North Dakota State, not literally any other FCS team that I can't think of, but for them to be that bad, I think that's the fair expectation. And then again, you've got a senior Sam Ehlinger. You've got a lot of good skill position players. You gotta have high expectations for the offense as well. So if that is anything short of complete domination, hopefully even beyond the domination that we saw against Rice and against Louisiana Tech last year in our two sort of cupcake games, anything less than that, I think you start to have a few concerns. Also, with that asterisk, though, of we didn't get spring practice with two new coordinators. You had a lot of these little things that could throw everything off.
Mm-hmm. And the last thing I'll add before we kind of wrap up all the preview stuff here is I think that one thing that Tom Herman actually has done very well and consistently done it well is keeping the team focused, which is a little bit ironic to say given his whole reputation for like dropping a random game. But 2018, you know, it wasn't a good start. I think it was Tulsa where we like barely won in the last minute, you know, only scored 28 points, but the team stayed focused, had a great year. Last year, everything broke down, but it never felt like the team wasn't, I don't know, it never felt like they had completely moved on from the season, right? And I think that that's why they were able to come back and play really well against Utah, was they stayed engaged. And then all throughout the summer, obviously, there was the Black Lives Matter stuff, and some of the guys got really personally involved in that. But you see a team, at least from the outside, that looks like they want this season to happen and they're not willing to give it up, right? Like they're not willing to bow out of this season because they know that this is their year and like they truly believe it. And so they're going to keep on working for it. They've worked over the off season. And so I think that that's something that actually can benefit Texas is there are tons of distractions going on right now. So having a team who at least talks a lot about shutting out outside noise and staying internally focused, that could be the difference between being that 7-3 and that 9-1 team that's going to the playoffs. So I'm hoping that, you know, that kind of stays true and my read on that situation is correct. And I guess that'll kind of be the difference maker for me as to why I'm going with the 9-1 here.
Gotcha. All right. So we've gone through our season predictions, but we do have a game this weekend. We've talked a lot about UTEP already. Again, I think we both agree the expectation should be more or less for the defense, shut out or bust to a certain degree. You expect the offense to flow. You can understand if the first quarter is a little rocky while everyone sort of gets the rust knocked off. But should be dominant there. Should have no reason to have any concerns about anything going wrong and shouldn't go into halftime going, I don't know if we have this under control. Shouldn't get into the fourth quarter thinking, I don't think Casey Thompson has this under control. Should be one of those just sort of thorough beatdowns, knock the rust off in sort of anticipation of what's coming next. So with that, I think we can get into our hot takes, as is the trademark for this this podcast, is our hot takes that we definitely always remember and never forget to bring up after they happen. So for me, my hot take is going to be with that shutout that I'm expecting from the defense, I'm saying that Texas scores at least one non-offensive touchdown. And I'm thinking it's probably coming from Deshaun Jameson just because that opens me up to the possibility of him returning an opening kickoff or returning a punt or intercepting someone or scooping scoring a fumble. But I'm going Deshaun Jameson scores a non-offensive touchdown for Texas in some capacity.
And I'm hoping that you're right, because that'll help feed into my hot take, which is that we beat the over alone by ourselves. The over-under right now is at 61.5, and I'm taking the over with just Texas. So, you know, let's put up some points, offense, defense, special teams. I don't care who does it, but, you know, I'm thinking that we come out looking pretty good on offense, as much as you're talking about beating off the rust. But, I mean, Sam's a fourth-year guy. You got all this speed on offense, and, you know, maybe they can get some fireworks early on, and then Casey Thompson can come in and keep his foot on the pedal.
Yeah, and this would be a nice time to let Casey Thompson actually play. If the game is super out of hand, give him an opportunity to actually throw the ball. I mean, we saw him against Louisiana Tech last year where he did get in the end zone late in the game, but a lot of that was we kept the ball on the ground, didn't really give him a chance to do much other than hand the ball off good as fuck and take that one QB run that honestly might not have actually gotten in the end zone, but he got his first career touchdown out of it anyway. So I hope we let him actually sort of run the offense. And that's something that's going to be possible if we go into halftime with a 35-0 lead, a 42-0 lead. That type of thorough beatdown from the first team to where we can let Casey Thompson run the actual offense, not just hand the ball off, keep it on the ground, burn clock for the last half hour. Otherwise, we'll all be tuning out, despite the fact that it's opening weekend for us and we should all be super into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no Sam next year. You got to get reps in for somebody because somebody's going to be taking over next year. And then also, you don't have the same concerns. Last year, we had our third string quarterback playing running back. So if Casey Thompson got injured, you're in a really bad spot. But now we have Hudson Card, Quinn Jackson. You obviously don't want to play a true freshman. But there's people behind him that can play quarterback. So don't be afraid to let Casey actually play while he's in.
It would be kind of fun, given that the redshirt rules still apply. Hudson Card can play in nearly half of the games and still take a redshirt this year. This would be pretty cool to get to see him, even if he's just handing the ball off for two series at the end of the game, given that he is listed as the number three quarterback, at least on the two deep roster that Texas put out
before recording today. Maybe we have linebacker issues and we're like, hey, Jaquindon, just go play linebacker. It's okay, bro. You can keep your red shirt. Just go play. Just casually play some linebacker. I promise you're still a quarterback, but, you know, just why not?
Yeah. You want to play Jack? You want to play Jack? You could totally take the head off of somebody being the new Osai. So.
Yeah.
Well, we finally made it to the end of the off season, so let's go ahead and enjoy it while we can because chances are pretty good that this season's going to be real wild, go haywire in a hurry. But in the meantime, be safe, make good choices, wash your hands, wear a mask, for God's sakes, wear a mask. Don't be like the Texas fan in Alaska or whatever who got kicked out of Walmart screaming at people about wearing a mask. Don't be that guy. It's been a rough offseason. We had him. We had Joe Exotic repping Texas stuff. Those have been our two most visible people. Don't add to that of being that person who ends up on YouTube or on Twitter or on TikTok or whatever else the kids Netflix. Are using these days on Netflix. Yeah, don't turn us into more of a meme. We already have commentators doing that to us enough during the games. We don't need help off the field. So wear a mask, be smart, do all that good stuff, stay healthy, help slow the spread of this pandemic so next year can hopefully be more normal. But make sure to follow us on Twitter at the FTH Podcast for updates during the games and throughout the week. Obviously, we've talked about how we're not actually going to games this year. So we're going to be able to live tweet some of that stuff. So there'll be a lot of stuff to follow, a lot of content that we'll be putting out, even if we aren't posting a new episode every day because we're lazy and we do this for free. So we're not going to constantly be recording to post new episodes all the time. We just don't have time for that. We have real lives that we have to attend to that take priority over all of this. But with that said, we will be back with another episode after the UTEP game to discuss what we saw, and we'll overreact as much as possible, decide if we're winning the Natty or going 0-10 based on what we saw against UTEP. So we will see you next week. Hook 'em.